sweat technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59.
We are indeed at Texas Star Grill Shop. Best grills at the best price. Memorial Day weekend extravaganza. Huge sales on all top grill brands. They have a huge truckload sale on Franklin barbecue pits right now. Save up to $1,000. They have a special partnership with Aaron Franklin. $1,000 on Franklin barbecue pits. $300 off the Gosney pizza ovens. $500 off Traeger. This is your spot to buy a grill. And if you're going to buy a grill anytime soon, why not do it this weekend and get incredible savings at Texas Star Grill Shop. Best grills at the best price. So where do we think the Texans offense stacks up against the rest of the NFL? I'm not going to lie to you. I love it when Case Keenum talks because he's a very smart man because he went to a very, very good university, go Cougs. Case was talking with the Texans guys, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, on their YouTube channel, and Case got me fired up about this offense with what he had to say.
You look across the board, and there's some really good pass catchers and some out of the backfield, you know, mm-hmm. that we got to add too. Yeah. So I love our offensive weapons right now. I think those guys getting on the same page. Obviously, I have a lot of history with Steph. This will be my third team now I've played with him. And, man, he's going to fit in this offense so well. Such an explosive guy. You can count on to win just about in any situation. And with this offense, with the aggressiveness of CJ, the offensive line and the play caller, play designer. Let's look over here, Nico. Okay, let's look over here. Okay, well, there's Steph. Oh, well, okay, there's Tank in the slot. All right, there's Dalton. Okay, it's a lot of really good, talented guys who can make stuff happen.
There you go. Case Keenum talking about the pass catchers. You can tell he's a quarterback and that this is what the Texans have built. Is kind of a quarterback's dream with the offense. Now they have to go produce. They have to go do it, and there's no guarantees that they'll go do it. And, you know, the Diggs that Keenum played with, you know, 2 years ago in Buffalo, younger. With the Diggs he played with in Minnesota connected on the miracle, you know, far younger. So it might make, you know, is it a different Diggs? Only time will tell. But it does show you, and again, it fires me up about the offense, it shows you where the ceiling's at. Now, oftentimes teams don't get to their ceiling, but it shows you that the offensive ceiling for this team is extremely high.
Well, and the best thing about that is this is a guy that's there day in, day out. This is a guy that knows that who C.J. Stroud is and has been raving about him, knowing that it's not going to be one and done or a sophomore slump or all those things. He's going to be the guy, so it starts there. But then when you just completely fortify the offense with weapons and you take all these skill position players and give him so much more than he's had in his first year, it can't help but excite you. And this isn't, you know, the Albert Breers, or this isn't the guys that are covering it from a national perspective that are quickly glancing at all the rosters or the receiver rooms or the weapons and going, oh, yeah, Houston's got some weapons. No, when you hear it from Case Keenum and he's there every day firsthand and he knows what they've got and the experience of playing with Diggs and the fact that Diggs should be really a guy that fits in seamlessly, it's got to excite you because when we talk about it, it's one thing to say, okay, best duos in the league, probably not in the top five. But when you talk about best weapons in the league, pretty easy to say the Texans have as many weapons as just about any team in the league.
Yeah, especially as throwing the football. Like, you know, what you think of Mixon as a runner, like that could be an area that potentially could be a hole. Like if Mixon is washed or he's older and he's not going to be as productive as he was in Cincinnati, you know, maybe the running game could be a bit of an issue. But if you're a quarterback and you're slinging it around 40 times a game and you have a trio of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, you have a tight end of Dalton Schultz, you got your security blanket in college of Cade Stover, and then even your backup receivers can have a little game. Like, we're talking about Noah Brown and maybe trading, cutting Robert Woods. You're talking about John Metchie being the final receiver, potentially, in this receiver room, who's a second-round pick, who was, like, a very exciting prospect coming out of college that has had the start of his career derailed with leukemia, which is sad. And hopefully he can get on track and become the football player that they thought that they drafted. So, yeah, you have to be bullish, especially from a quarterback point of view. D'Amico was talking about Stephon Diggs, because Diggs still hasn't talked to the media, by the way. At least, like, we've heard from a lot of people, not Stephon Diggs. Now, he's not here at OTAs. He's not here. Tunsil's not here. Titus Howard's not here. I think he's probably twitching video games at Titus Howard. Happy birthday, though, to Titus Howard. Here was D'Amico talking about his love for Stephon Diggs.
It's been really fun working with Diggs. You talk about a guy who's dialed in, guy who loves football. It's been fun to work with him. It's been fun just to see the chemistry that starts to build in our locker room with him, quarterback, other receivers, offensive players, defensive players. He's going to be a really great fit for what we do here.
I mean, he's going to say that. Yeah. Like, he's going to say that just like Case is going to talk up Stephon Diggs. I do think this is a much better fit for Stephon Diggs in this offense, the Slowik offense, that you want separation from your receivers, quickness, good route running, than in Buffalo whenever Brady took over as the offensive coordinator. Because Brady started to prioritize running the football. And they were even taking Diggs off the field on certain third downs. And I think you have a more accurate quarterback than they did in Buffalo as well. So, like, who cares what D'Amico said? Like, D'Amico is going to talk up his guys. Like, you have to do that. It's part of the business. But this all, and I don't even know what Diggs is going to give you. Like, I think it's a huge question mark. 1 year rental. He's, you know, in his 30s. He's in the mix. He might be your third receiver behind Nico Collins and Tank Dell. So I don't know what his stat line is going to look like, but I do know that this offense is better suited for Diggs than the offense that Buffalo is currently running.
I agree with that, and I think that the key is going to be that can he be okay with being a piece to the overall offensive puzzle, because with having that the versatility from and the variety that CJ has to choose from, everybody, if he's going to spread it around, he's not going to have the kind of numbers that are going to, you know, wow everybody in the NFL or be the dream of every fantasy football owner and look like a true wide receiver one. But winning hopefully cures all else, and you look at it and say, hey, he's part of an offense that's clicking, that you guys, you're going to get the football a lot regardless, because someone's got to be open on every play with the amount of talent on the offensive side of the football. And if they win and then the offense is putting up numbers and people are paying attention to that, he knows that when he hits the free agency market at the end of the season, people realize all the talent that was on this offense. The Texans are probably going to realize it too. But I don't think it's going to hurt him that much as long as he keeps his focus on, if we're winning and I'm part of the reason why we're winning and I'm part of the offense – and I've got a very modern day, very, very creative offensive coordinator like Bobby Slowik, then I shouldn't be bitching if I'm not the wide receiver one or getting wide receiver one numbers.
Steichen was talking about his receivers at Indy yesterday, and he's like, hey, look, Pittman might catch 10 passes this week, and then the next week it might be who they draft, A.D. Mitchell. It might be A.D. Mitchell the next week with six. It could be, I think it's Downs. Downs, they drafted Downs last year, didn't they? It could be him the next week with nine catches. So, I mean, I think the Texans could very much be that way, too. Like, I could see Nuka based on the matchups. And because Stroud finds the open receiver. Like, Stroud doesn't zero in on a specific player. He finds the open guy. I could see Tank Dell having a big game week one. Stephon Diggs having a big game week two. Nico Collins having a big game week three. And that's the way that it should be. Like, it should be that whenever you have a good offense that's trying to take advantage of mismatches with what the defense is throwing at you. And because you have weapons all over the field, you should be able to take advantage of those mismatches. Now, I think it is fair to question if Diggs is going to get a little bit loud if it's one of the weeks where he's not getting the football.
Or if it's 2 weeks, because Tank got it 1 week and Nico got it the next, and now he's sitting there shaking his head going, why am I not more involved in the offense? That's what you got to hope doesn't happen, because you're right. When you look at, like, from week to week, when you look at NFL teams, normally the guy that goes off in 1 week is the guy that defenses are going to focus on the following week, and that's the exact reason why they're going to make someone else a priority on their offensive game plan for that week, because they know that they're going to exploit the weakness or the less focused on possibilities within the offensive scheme. And you know that you've seen it throughout the league, whether it's the two receiver combinations, where if Brown has a big week 1 week in Philly, well, then Smith's probably going to be the guy that gets more looks the next week. It happens all the time. It shouldn't be worried about or concerned. That's the only thing that worries me, is that Diggs going into a free agency year is going to start looking at the box score more than he is the wins and losses.
See, I hear that. I just wonder if it's the adverse effect where he knows he has to be on his best behavior. Because if he pops off like that, and all of a sudden that's something that lowers his value. So, like, I can see it going both ways. That's the mystery of Stephon Diggs. It's the mystery of, if he's not getting the targets, is he going to pop off because he's not getting the targets and he thinks it's costing him money? Or is he going to be, well, it's my prove-it year. It's my final year. I have to be on my best behavior. Like, it could go either way.
It's a good point because of the fact that it's a delicate balance from the standpoint of, unlike a lot of receivers that hit free agency, when you know if he can go, he can go. And so we want that guy on our team. But because in multiple cities now, now, he's had issues where he's acted up, where he has created a stir, where he has been a distraction, to where he can't afford to be a distraction, but he also doesn't want to look like he's such an afterthought in the offense that he's not going to dictate the kind of money that he wants at the end of the season, too. So it's a catch-22 for him that he's got to deal with.
It really is. Ocho says that was a dumb trade, especially given the fact this was one of the deepest receiver drafts in years. He hated the trade. Dick's talent is not necessarily the issue. It's his motivation. He's proven he can be a productive malcontent. Why in the heck would you subject your young star quarterback to that toxic behavior? I think that's why you gave him the one-year deal. Mm-hmm. I think you gave him the one-year deal because you're hoping that he's on his best behavior. And I think it's going to be a rental. I really do. I think it's 1 year of Stephon Diggs. I think that's all you get. And I think that they're good with that. Obviously, they're good with that because they traded a second-rounder for Stephon Diggs, and then they ripped up his old deal, gave him the new deal, which is a one-year deal. I think it's 100% it's going to be a rental. I'd be shocked if he's back.
They cut out as much of the risk as they possibly could.
Sure.
They know what they have, they know what they're building, and they know what their big picture plans are. So ideally, at the end of the season, if Nico goes off and Diggs goes off, you got a really, really healthy problem to look at if you expect that you have to pay both of them. But if anything happens with Diggs, we just started talking about the depth that they, and then they add Skowronek to the fact that they have so much depth in that wide receiver room that if he becomes a problem at all, or if there's any concerns at all that this is going to be something that disrupts the locker room, he gone.
Yeah.
That's it. Just he gone. We don't have any ties to him after this season, and we got guys that can fill his position. So you either are with us or against us. If you're against us, go play for another team.
Yeah, even if he plays well, I think he plays his way out of Houston because of the contract and because you know that you're probably going to extend Nico Collins, and you're not going to extend a guy who's in his 30s unless Steph just loves playing here and is willing to do like a high AAV for a one-year deal and just do another one-year
CJ,
deal.
And he said he wanted to play for CJ. If CJ's a guy that entices him going, hey, at the end of my career, instead of Josh Allen, who can be erratic and a little inaccurate, mm-hmm. if I can have this dude throwing me the ball, I might take a little less,
right.
win a little more, and have a whole lot more success.
Which is more possible for him to do in his 30s than Nico right. Collins getting his first big deal. Because, I mean, Diggs has made tons of yep. money in his career. He might be willing to take a few million dollars less and keep playing with a quarterback in an offense that he likes. One of the low-key things that Kay said, did you catch who he said is in the slot? Whenever he went through
Tank,
this,
right?
Yeah, he said Tank. Yeah. Tank played more outside receiver last year than inside. Which, coming into the league, they thought he was more of an inside guy than an outside guy.
But don't you think that that's where he'll line up? But don't you think the creativity that Slowick brings is he may start there, but he'll have plenty of opportunities still to take shots down the field because he can be so effective getting behind the back of the defense.
Yeah, he moves them all around. Everybody's going to line up inside at times. It's going to depend on scheme, matchup, who they're playing. I think we see a lot of guys inside. I think in this offense that we overrate inside boundary receivers because Slowick does move them all around. 713-780-ESPN. Caitlin Clark, the chatter on her. What do we make of all of this? Killer Bees broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill Shop on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, look, we're in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals in the NBA. Sports is heating up on a daily basis, and you want to take advantage of it. Whether you're a fan of one of the four teams that's remaining or you just want to make games more interesting, the fact that you are involved with MyBookie.ag can help you in so many ways. MyBookie.ag gives you the option and opportunity to get money down on games, make the most uninteresting game or interesting games even more interesting with a chance to win money, and they take care of you across the board. You can even live stream and bet on the games right from the sportsbook, giving you everything you'll need to decide whether you want to cash out or you want to continue to let it ride. MyBookie makes it easy, and they're always taking care of you with bonuses as well as prop bets and parlays and new boosts that are posted on the daily. It's more than just a sports book. There's buzzer beaters, underdog upsets, a community to share all your excitement with, and of course, when there's not games going on, there's casino games with live dealers standing by so you can play that gambling game as well too. Make it all more fun. Go to mybookie.ag. Give yourself a head start. You get some house money if you sign up and use our promo code BET975 when you make your first deposit. Again, promo code is BET975. Whenever you see it and they ask for it, find an opportunity to use it because you will literally cash in with more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. And if you're an existing customer and you want to re-up your account, there's a bonus for you as well. You know what to do. Use that promo code BET975. Get in there right now, get it going, and let's have a big weekend watching sports and having fun and making games more interesting. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, and use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
These deals they have at Texas Star Grill Shop, best grills at the best price. And listen, they put their money where their mouth is. Save up to $500 on Traeger grills, $800 on Blaze, $900 on Weber, $200 off Napoleon grills, and the huge truckload sale on Franklin barbecue pits, where you can save up to $1,000. They have a special partnership with Aaron Franklin. Save up to $1,000. And we always tell you guys to join the club, 975grills.com. It's just an email list, and they're going to send you a deal every single time one pops up. I join the club because I want to see these deals. I'm always in the market to get a grill and love an outdoor kitchen. 20% off any one item during Memorial Day weekend. This coupon good until 4 p.m. on May 27th, 2024, next 4 days. Join the club, 975grills.com. They're not going to sell your information. You're not going to pay anything. They're just going to send you deals. And to this week's deal, 20% off any one item during the Memorial Day weekend sale when you join the club at 975grills.com. Ocho says, not only do the Texans miss out on Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell, but these two will be torching you twice a year for years to come. So he's I understand where he's coming from. Like, you could have had a – now, I mean, how did you miss out on those guys, though? Like, where are you taking them?
Yeah, you had other needs that you had to fill in the draft to where – look, I was going to say, we know exactly where Ocho's coming from because we got texts about him in any kind of draft talk we had leading up to the draft. We knew where he wanted to go and what he felt like in terms of the receiver room and what they needed to do. They did it a different way. They didn't do it the way he was ideally planning it out, but I think they still covered all their needs. They used their draft picks accordingly with where they really had necessity after free agency, and then they went out in the trade market, added a running back and a wide receiver, and then inevitably another wide receiver that gives them depth, gives them talent across the board, and I think they're fine.
They could have, like, if you're defending Ocho here, you could have drafted A.D. Mitchell at 42. But that means you don't have Lassiter. Is Lassiter going to start for you? But you would still also have the second-round pick next year, which belongs to Minnesota, which could be a top 35 pick. That's the counter-argument. Like, I think it's a fair counter-argument, like, especially if Diggs is gone after a year, and even if it's a productive year. Diggs for a season, or you could have just picked A.D. Mitchell and had Minnesota's second-round pick next year. We'll see how that all shakes up. But you also wouldn't have Lassiter, so you lose the opportunity cost there. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. What do you make of all this Caitlin Clark chatter? You had LeBron James was very outspoken about it. Charles Barkley defending LeBron James, saying LeBron James was right. I heard people from The View, they were kind of making it a race thing. Don't watch that show. I know that you do.
No, I don't. I was going to say, wait a minute. You were watching The View?
No, I saw a clip on Twitter. There was like a 50. I didn't even watch it. I just read the tweet. But everybody's talking about the phenomenon known as Caitlin Clark. WNBA players apparently are trying to, like, welcome to the WNBA. Welcome to the league. What do you make of all of this?
I think that it's all part of getting as much attention as she got in college. But I think that people have to grasp the big picture, that she's taken a step from playing college teams where there's a lot of talent that really isn't to the level of the competition she's facing now. It's a step up. No matter how good she is as an individual, on the next level, you need your teammates. She's still raking in the endorsements. She's still doing the things, drawing the attention. Her team hasn't won a game yet. But in order for her to have the same kind of success that a lot of people are trying to scrutinize her for, it's as much about the players around her and her adjusting to the fact that they're gunning for her. Just like winning a title does with a lot of teams, with an individual that's gotten this much scrutiny and attention, you've seen some of the screens that she's run into. She's getting crushed. She is getting physicaled. She is getting the understanding in a short amount of time. She's getting a crash course on, this ain't Iowa anymore, and this is going to be a different level. Do I think she'll figure it out and become the player in the WNBA as she was in college? To a very high degree, I do. I don't know if she'll be the best player in the league ever, but she has too much talent. She showed it again last night in a tight game where she just, her offensive moves and her ability to shoot the basketball are going to translate. But everybody's gunning for her, and all the cameras and the crosshairs are on her. It's to be expected with how her college career ended.
I'm not a fan of the, like, Colin Cowherd saying they should have given her a softer schedule to start the year. You know, LeBron, they need to take it easy on her. Barkley's like, oh, they need to stop being petty. And I understand, like, the whole star factor. Like, would it help if Caitlin Clark reaches her potential and brings up the rest of the NBA or the WNBA? Yeah, like a rising tide lifts all boats. I understand the logic there. Like, it's Tiger Woods and PGA, not comparing the two. Tiger Woods a megastar. Will Caitlin Clark get there? I don't know. But Tiger Woods was a rising tide in golf that lifted all of the boats in the PGA Tour. So, like, I understand how Caitlin Clark can lift up the WNBA. But this goes with the territory. If you're going to be one of the best athletes in the WNBA, or like one of the most talked about athletes, period, just in sports across the country, this goes with the territory. So if you want Caitlin Clark to be this megastar, you can't like gatekeep all of the negative stuff that is said about Caitlin Clark. You can't gatekeep it. Well, the WNBA players shouldn't be, you know, being tough on her. It goes with the territory. If you're going to be a megastar in your sport, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to have the haters. You're going to have the other players that go after you. It was the same way with Tiger Woods whenever he was new to the PGA Tour. Fuzzy Zeller was running his mouth at Augusta about Tiger
Greg
Woods.
Norman, look, you look at what she's had to endure with this. Don't feel sorry for her. Diana Taurasi has been on the top of that mountain for a long period of her entire life. To hear all of a sudden a girl coming out of Iowa being anointed as the next megastar carry the torch of the WNBA, her first night out she had 7, 8, or 9, maybe even 9 3-pointers to basically make the statement, I ain't done yet, and I've done way more, and I've long been known as the greatest women's player on the planet. So get used to it. Breonna Stewart, when they play New York, she's a multiple-time MVP. She's going to tell you, hey, I got an ego too. I got ability, and I ain't going anywhere. So this is to be the best, you have to beat the best and compete with the best. This is the same way when people say, well, the Astros weren't hot because they beat the A's and so ever. Don't give her the fluffy schedule. You give her a schedule, and then you grade her based on her individual performance. Mm-hmm. And if you want to grade her team based on what help is she getting and who's around her, that's fine. But it's going to take time. It's not going to be that instantaneous thing like, you know what, I start playing college basketball and I am unbeatable.
Yeah, I just hate the babying of it. Like, well, yes, she's going to be the star, so you should baby her along the way. Like, this isn't boxing or UFC where you're just hand-feeding somebody these weak opponents, that way they can build their record up. And you know how Caitlin Clark's going to earn respect from these WNBA players? Is whenever she gets that hard screen or she gets an elbow to the face off a block attempt, she hops right back up. And look, I mean, Caitlin Clark's turned it over. Her team's not doing well. She's scoring, though. Like, she's scoring pretty good.
Last night, she had 21-7-7 and had her second turnover with less than a minute to play because she had high turnovers in her first couple games.
Yeah.
You look at that and say, if you don't think that's one of the better players in the league, then you just don't know basketball. 21-7-7, only 2 turnovers. That's premier basketball in the WNBA.
The baby and soft, too. Like, don't baby the phenom athlete because you need to elevate them. Like, at some point, you're going to have to play the tough part of the schedule. At some point, someone's going to challenge you. You can't just, you know, feed them these weak opponent after weak opponent after weak opponent. I hate the gatekeeping that's going on with Caitlin
Clark.
When
LeBron came into the league, the veterans did the same thing.
Yeah.
They knocked him down. They sent messages. They made sure the statements were made that I ain't going anywhere. I ain't done yet, so you aren't where you – everybody thinks you're going to be. It wasn't even as personal as it was to say, I don't like you. It's that if you're coming to take my crown, or if you're trying to move me down a notch on the list of best players, bring your game, and you better show up and play every night.
Yeah, stop babying her. 713-780-ESPN. What are the worst takes of the week? 713-780-3776. What are the worst takes you've heard this week? Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees when we come back. Broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill Shop on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at so many things. But for me, it starts and ends with the NeoGraft procedure because I personally did the procedure. Could not be happier with it. And quite frankly, I got my hair back. And that was the goal. That's what he did. And he did it in a way that I wasn't aware that you could do it. Because Up until then, all I knew was there were sprays and creams and foams and hats and toupees and things that covered up or masked the issue of losing your hair. But there was no real solution in my mind that actually involved using your own hair and how it looks the same and it feels the same because it is the same. That was amazing to me. I learned all this because I got a consultation with Doc and his staff. And all you can do, all you need to do to get the same thing and not pay for it, like I didn't pay for it, is you go to 975hair.com. You listen to us, you want to talk to him, you get the consultation for free. Go right there to 975hair.com, set up a consultation, go in and talk to him and his staff. Ask questions. Get answers. See if you might be the next to get that great procedure. Because quite honestly, people off the street are going to start by paying $150 for the consultation and then trying to figure out if they can do what's necessary and they can get the appointment and everything made so that they can get the procedure too. You get special treatment because you listen to us. That's fantastic. But then understand you're going to the best and you're going to get a procedure that's a game changer. Because as Doc explained to me during my consultation, what I wasn't aware of, almost 99% of the follicles that you have and all the hair that you have on the sides and the back of your head, it's not going anywhere. So he uses that. The 99% is, that's how many when he transfers the hair from where it's, you're never, genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, quite simply. He can transport that to where you need it most. It's like doing your lawn over. Taking sod where you have an abundance of it, putting some of that grass where you need it because you have bald spots and bare spots. Same thing done with your scalp. Front and in your hairline, back on the bald spot on top, all taken care of with your own hair. They do the procedure. They move the hair. They put it where you need it. Immediately, you'll see the follicles. They're there, but understand that in 6 to 9 months, when they actually fully get stronger and longer, they're going to be with you for the long haul because, like I said, they're taken from a spot where they're never going to leave, and they're going to give you more coverage area. You're going to like the way you look. You're going to have more self-confidence. Total game changer. Go to 975hair.com right now. Set up the appointment. Nothing out of pocket, no commitment, no signing on the dotted line. Just questions and answers and explanations on what the procedure is and if it might be right for you to do, then I encourage you to do it with Doc Linville because he's the best in the business.
Good and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, what are the worst takes of the week? Bad Take Boulevard, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. What are the worst takes you've heard this week? Blankers, jump in, 713-780-3776. First one, Joe George and his Fromber Valdez take. Joe George, and look, we were all upset with Fromber Valdez. I'm still a little upset with Fromber Valdez because you should have won the Angel Series if Fromber Valdez doesn't have a meltdown in the fifth inning and goes rogue calling his own pitches. And then on top of that, if he goes rogue calling his own pitches, execute them. Like, execute, get out of the inning with the lead, win that ballgame. I'm still a little triggered about that game, if you can't tell. But Joe said that they should trade Fromber Valdez ahead of the trade deadline because of that start.
Yeah, indeed he did, and it shocked both of us. As a matter of fact, it stopped our golf game for a second because of the fact that it was so shocking. Joe's had some doozies. Joe had a little bit of one today that was fun.
What'd he say?
He was talking about the fact they were wondering about if you should send food back, and he was talking about you know, his father-in-law being very passionate about, like, sending food back, especially soup. If it's not too hot, he'll do it multiple times. And then he goes, and even my wife, she had food in her hair. And Paul's like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I mean, she ordered it, and then there was food in her hair.
What?
And Paul goes, don't you mean hair in her food? And he goes, yeah, you know what I meant. Hair in his food, food in her hair. And I was like, no, Joe, that's a miss. I don't think there's a big difference between getting a plate with having hair in your food and having food in your hair at a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to say. I'm not a big send a food back guy, though. I think
my wife isn't either.
I think it's
I am.
Poor taste.
Yeah, well, if I'm going to experience poor taste, I'm sending it back.
Like, what makes you send an item back?
Cold, or if I ask specifically for, like, say, a burger with no mayo or no certain toppings on it, and I get it, and it's not easily scraped off,
yeah,
like it's a condiment or something like that, I don't want that.
I usually would just make ends meet on my end.
You'd eat it?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, like if I ask for like a cheeseburger that has onions on it, I'm just going to scrape the onions off.
That's easier.
I don't like mayo, but if it has mayo on it, I'll just try to scrape it off. I'm trying to think, like a steak, maybe that's not cooked the way that I want. I'm not sending. I don't think I've ever sent food back, honestly.
We were at Nick's place, and I asked for the pizza to be well done, the crisp, so they crisp the crust.
Yeah.
And it came back real doughy. And even Nick said send it back. And then the guy that was in the kitchen making the pizza was totally ticked off.
And that was a free pizza?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying. I didn't even notice. Nick and I were talking about it. He's like, didn't you ask for that well done? I was like, yeah. And then the guy was like ready to kill me.
That's
because
funny.
I said that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever sent food back at all, now that I think about it. 3118, why does it matter if Frommer calls his own pitches? Lots of pitchers do that because it's been a disaster every time he's done it. He tried to do it in spring training. He got lit up, and they abandoned the experiment after one start. And secondly, it's not so much the pitches. It's about abandoning the game plan. He went rogue on the game plan. Like, the game plan is we need to attack this guy with heat, with fastballs. He throws change up first pitch. And so it's a combination of all of that. It's a combination of all of it. This guy says, I don't send food back because I'm scary. Huh. I don't know what that means. All right, next bad take that we have. Draymond Green. He's doing work for TNT. What do you think of Draymond Green on TNT, by the way?
I think it's interesting because I think he wants to be the next Shaq or Charles. And I think that it ticks off especially Shaq.
Interesting.
Yeah, when I watched the continuity the last couple nights, I'm like, and Shaq got a little sensitive last night where he was like, normally Ernie talks and then it's me. The fact that Charles was chiming in and then they wanted Draymond's take next, I think it's going to come to a point where it may be an issue, but I think he's not afraid to say some things, but I think he's rubbing some guys the wrong way, too.
Yeah, he's not scared of hot takes either. He's willing to go hot takey, which he got the New York Knicks thing right. He said the Knicks were a fraud, and he ended up getting that right. But here's one that he didn't get right. This was after Game 5 of the Western Conference semifinals, whenever Minnesota trailed Denver 3-2. Nuggets had won 3 in a row. Here was Draymond Green after Game 5 of that Western Conference semifinal.
When you're in these playoff series, for me, I'm always looking for the smallest ounce of weakness that I can find. And the way Carl Anthony Towns walked off that floor with the limp after he played the rest of that game totally fine and then he could barely walk, leaving the court, they don't believe anymore. And when you lose belief, they're defending champions you're playing against. When you lose the belief, it's over. And they don't believe they can win anymore, which means this series is over.
Spoiler alert, Minnesota won the final two games of that series.
So Carl Anthony Towns actually played pretty big in Game 7.
Yeah, he did. He was pretty good in Game 1, actually.
Yeah, but that's when Charles was critical. Charles was critical of him early in the series by saying if they're going to win this series, Edwards needs help, and it has to be Carl Anthony Towns when he had some of his bad games.
Yeah.
And then those last two games, he was a big help for Edwards.
Yeah, that was not the best take from Draymond Green, who's doing the TNT. I'm not a big fan of Draymond.
I got another
TNT
one for you at the end if we have time.
Go for it.
On Draymond Green, did you see the latest one where Stephen A. Smith was critical of him, and he goes on Shaq's podcast?
Oh, I saw some of this. I didn't see what it was about.
And he says to Shaq, look, I mean, Stephen A's going, I hate that I don't know how to, I'm hemming and hawing. I don't know if I don't want to be so critical of you and everything like that. And then I guess Stephen A. Smith went out and was critical of him. And he's like, see, don't come up and hit me up and say, you know how I am as a person off the floor. And I understand you have a job to do, but don't come up and say that you care and do all these things. And then you go out and you have these takes and you blast me on the air. He deserved every bit of it, and we talk about this with like guys like Tom Brady. If you're going to be in the media in jobs like we have, you have to be critical. And you can't worry about whether you're friends with a certain guy or not. You have to give your honest takes. Draymond, if you're going to be in this business, especially because you want to be on TNT and you're doing it to other people, and you know a lot of the guys you're going to be critical of, bad take, bro. You got to suck it up and understand that when you act like a complete ass on the court, if people are going to call you out on that, it doesn't matter what kind of guy you are as their friend, as a friend to them. It matters the fact that you're doing things that are not acceptable in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, players can be sensitive, though. Chaz McCormick, Titus Howard. Nick showed up to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Pacers, a series that they would end up losing. They're up 3-2 entering Game 6. They wore all black because they thought it was the Pacers' funeral. And then they would lose Game 6, and then they lost Game 7 at home to Madison Square Garden. So, not a great look by the Knicks. This one, I think, is a bad take. Y'all might disagree. You ever heard of Eric Pincus?
Yeah.
He does some stuff with the NBA. Anyways, he said that the Bulls are unlikely to make trade with the Lakers because their owner doesn't want LeBron infringing upon Michael's legacy. The intel is that they're just not going to help LeBron. I think this is a bad take by Chicago Bull ownership. You should always be worrying about your home. You should always be worrying about your front porch. You shouldn't be worrying about legacies whenever you need to be doing what's in the best interest of your team. If this is indeed true, I think it's a bad take by the Chicago Bull ownership group.
I also can see it happening. Jerry Reinsdorf's that kind of guy, and you didn't need to see The Last Dance, or you can go back in history and understand that owner. And we've talked about it on multiple fronts with different sports too. Owners are going to do what they're going to do because they own the team. Look at Jim Crane. And they don't really care what you think. I could easily see this being true because his whole life has been predicated. He owns the White Sox and the Bulls, but his whole life has been predicated on the success of the Bulls and Michael and those teams and all the things that they did and he did. I could totally see this being something he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's a bad take. Like you're diminishing your team for legacies and all this stuff. And Reinsdorf screwed it all up to begin with. Like, don't break up the dynasty.
Don't rely on Krause.
Yeah, like he broke up the dynasty with this rebuild whenever they could have kept it riding. Like, you know whenever they should have broke up the dynasty? When they stopped winning a championship. Like, the first year that you don't win a championship, okay, let's break up the dynasty. Okay, Phil, see ya. Okay, Jordan, you can go retire for the second time. Okay, Pippen, you'll be traded. You can go be the A guy somewhere else and never really be the A guy somewhere else. That's when you break up a dynasty, not whenever you're still winning them all.
Don't disagree, but the fact that he was the anti- As an owner, he was the anti-Jim Crane. He gave Jerry Krause total control and then got completely out of the way. And then Jerry Krause went out to the media and put a timestamp on when Phil Jackson was going to be done. That was the death sentence for the entire thing. Because if Krause isn't allowed to do that, and as an owner you say, yeah, I know you want to do things your own way and create something else, but let's wait until this one sees its finish line, then you could have controlled it. Once Jerry Krause was able to put a date on it and it was final with Bill Jackson, that was over.
Yeah, let it ride until you stop winning your titles. That's what I always say. 713-780-ESPN. Three Rockets making the Ringers' top 25 players, 25 and under. Who are those three, and do we agree with them? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill Shop on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know you've been thinking about turf for your yard, whether it's because you're tired of mowing, it's easier to maintain, it's nicer, it's better for the kids, better for the pets, whatever your reason. Maybe to get your kids back. It rains the day before and your pets go outside to do their business because they have to go outside to do their business and they're dragging mud and getting the inside dirty. Same thing with the kids. Kids are the same way. I know that you've been thinking about turf for your yard. And if you've been thinking about it, you need to reach out to Cinlon. Why not? You have nothing to lose here. Cinlon will give you a free consultation, free estimate, and then you can decide. But at least know your options. It takes nothing to know your options, so why wouldn't you do it? The greenest turf company, not just in color, but also in theory. Cinlon's products, best in the game. Top-of-the-line products made right here in the U.S. of A. Lifetime warranty, too, so they're putting their money where their mouths are. In-house crews, you don't have to worry about the nightmares of a job that's contracted out. We've all ran into that in our lifetime. As homeowners, that's awful. That's not fun to do. Cinlon's fully insured, fully bonded. The customer service is elite. The people over there are fantastic. They're great. And Cinlon controls the process from yarn to yard. Cinlon created the industry, actually. They're the sister company to AstroTurf, you know, the stuff in the dome. Cinlon has nearly two decades in the game and the only turf company in Texas that can say that. I've seen some of the work that they've been doing recently. Some of these Cinlon turf in next to the pools, bordering the pools, perfect for the pools. You're not getting your feet all muddy when you jump back into the pool. They have these putting greens in the corner. They have it perfectly built around pavers walking into a backyard. I mean, the stuff they can do is incredible. It's perfect for your yard. Go to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. 975sinlawn.com. 975sinlawn.com. Improve your yard today. Cinlawn. Artificial grass never looked more natural.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59.
Texas Star Grill Shop, best grills at the best price. Memorial Day weekend extravaganza. He's fed us this amazing meat steaks, Chef Cecil. Thank you, Chef.
Phenomenal job being here all day.
I love saying that ever since that show, Bear. Thank you, Chef. Wagyu beef, heart brand brands. It's fantastic. The meat's very good. The chef's even better. That stuff is delicious. Anyways, best grills at the best price here at Texas Star Grill Shop. Listen to these savings. $500 on Traeger grills. That's how much you can save during Memorial Day weekend extravaganza. $800 on Blaze grills. $900 on Weber's. $300 on the Gosney pizza ovens. That's the latest fad. That everybody's loving those. It's a new trend going on. $200 on Napoleon and a huge truckload sale on Franklin barbecue pits up to $1,000 off. They have a special partnership with Aaron Franklin. So if you're even thinking like maybe you're not even thinking about it. Maybe you're saying, huh, that sounds like a pretty fun idea. It seems like it'd be great to have a decent grill, a really good grill. Get out to Texas Star Grill Shop. Talk to the fine people here, the best people in the business here. Talk to them if you're thinking about buying a grill in this city. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What'd you make of the game last night? Mavs, Wolves, went down to the stretch there. I really thought the Wolves were going to pull it off, and then you had that question. I didn't even think it was questionable. The basket interference, Karl-Anthony Towns, I thought it was clearly in the cylinder.
Did you see they're using new technology for that now?
The above-the-rim one?
Yeah, they now have some – it's not AI per se. It's different angles that animate and show based on where the rim would be when the ball is that where they could actually verify even further it was in the cylinder.
They didn't show that on the broadcast, did they?
No, they use it at the control center. But I saw that on the internet that they had mentioned it, that they're using it for the playoffs. I thought it was a great basketball game. I thought it was fun to watch. I think to not have a rooting interest in the series either way, it was great to see a game go down to the stretch run and be as competitive as it was. Because look, Dallas was down what, 6 with 3 minutes to play, and then put together a run that got them the victory. I had mentioned to you that I thought Dallas was a better defensive team than people gave them credit for, and I thought especially up front with their two bigs, they could do some things defensively. It was unbelievable the combination of that and the fact that Anthony Edwards, I love his bravado, I love the fact that he loves to talk, but that it actually woke up a sleeping bear in so many ways in Kyrie, because when he said, I got Kyrie, and I'm going to go get Kyrie, Kyrie to get 24 in the first half when he had basically averaged about 9 in the first half in the playoffs was exactly what the Mavericks needed.
Not only that part of it, but I don't think Anthony Edwards should be guarding Kyrie Irving the rest of this series if Minnesota wants to win. And Reggie Miller was all over it during the broadcast, and he said it every single time off the floor, so he really meant it. Anthony Edwards was gassed.
Oh, he sure was.
Under 5 minutes left to play in that game, and I think a big reason why was because he was trying to defend Kyrie Irving. I don't think that's a matchup that they can continue, at least every single time up the court. Maybe critical possessions, things like that. Anybody else?
McDaniel?
Man, McDaniel doesn't. I don't know if he has the.
I think McDaniel's good. McDaniel's good on Luka.
He's long. Yeah. I don't think he has the side to side to really stay in front of Kyrie.
I'm just trying to think of what, because Mike Conley can't guard him.
Yeah, Conley might be your best option though. Like Conley on him, put McDaniel's on Luka, and then just have Anthony Edwards off the ball most of the time. That way, he can conserve energy for offense.
Yeah, you probably have to make a business decision stating for the betterment of my team. I need Anthony Edwards to give me everything on offense, and then whatever is necessary, third option and below on defense. Because he was gassed. He got a couple of clean threes that he knocked down late, but overall he wasn't the same player, and they couldn't just give him the ball and get out of the way. And that's going to be a factor in this series because I saw some outlandish takes about the Luka Kyrie combination being the most potent backcourt in the history of the game. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, and it would take a deeper dive to think about that. But look, when they're both on, and you can just basically have those two as your first two options, and then know that when they get doubled and tripled, that they have spot-up shooters that can knock down shots, that's a dangerous squad to play. And because the guys that you've spent the most money on, not named Anthony Edwards, are guys that are more limited offensively, especially in Gobert, and the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns, he can make threes, but ideally you'd kind of like him more kind of on the post and moving around too, it gives it the Mavs an advantage until they figure it out.
Remember, a lot of people ridiculed that trade too because Kyrie was in the final year of his deal, and it was like the Mavs were like on the cusp of the playoffs, but they were on the outside looking. And I don't even think they made the playoffs
that year.
And everybody was, and they were crushing the trade. Why would you trade for a rental when you're not even going to be a playoff team? And it's like, well, they wanted to lock him up long term.
Remember what Lucas
and now
said.
Have a team that can go deep.
The minute it was over, too, when Luka was asked about it, he said, I didn't have any fun this season.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, God, the last thing you need as the Mavericks with that being your franchise guy is to say that's the first time in his basketball career he didn't have any fun. And then when they re-signed him, I'm like, what are they doing?
And maybe he's talking about other things. Like, but, maybe we're talking about
but
Kyrie.
Admittedly, Kyrie kind of went into it last night in the postgame where he said it took a lot of meetings with Jay Kidd behind closed doors and then getting the team involved as well and a lot of maturity on Kyrie's part because Kyrie had to realize, hey, look, I've taken a lot of hits. A lot of them have been self-inflicted and deservedly so to where if it's going to work, I got to do my part too. And I think it's been a combination of things where they just kind of turned it 180 in one season. Shaq picked him at the start of the year to win it all. I thought he was crazy. Looks pretty good right now.
Yeah, that was, in hindsight, it was a better trade than everybody was giving them credit for. Because now it has, and where do you want to put that backcourt in the history of the game, whatever. But it's one of the best backcourts right now. And they have a 1-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals and three games away from getting to the NBA Finals. The Ringer did a, they had a top 25, 25 or under. They had a bunch of panelists. They had a bunch of people rank these players that are 25 or under. They used current performance, projected future performance, gets the people going. I don't know why that's a factor. Charisma, marketability. They had intangibles, and then they had foundational qualities. So they listed the top 25, 25 or under. Number one, they had Wimby. They had Victor Wimby. They had Victor Wembanyama at number one, ahead of Anthony Edwards at number two.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty silly. I would take Anthony Edwards if I'm starting a team over Victor Wembanyama right now. Now, I know Wimby has tons of potential, but give me Anthony Edwards. Give me Luka. Those two are in the Western Conference Finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was three. Number four was Luka, and number five was Halliburton with the Pacers. Three Rockets landed on the top 25. Hmm. Curious what you think of where they came in. You want reverse order or normal order?
Normal order.
Jabari Smith cracks the top 25 at number 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, number 25, Jabari Smith. Do you think Amen Thompson is ahead of Jabari Smith? Would you have him ahead of Jabari Smith?
Yep.
Okay, Amen Thompson did not make their top 25 players 25 and under. The next one, Jalen Green.
Okay.
At number 22, which I'm surprised the Ringer has Jalen Green in their top 25.
And he's not the highest Rocket?
No.
Wow.
Guess who the highest Rocket is?
So Jalen and Jabari.
It's a pretty big jump, too. This guy's number 12.
And Amen's not on the list?
Amen's not on the list.
Cam Whitmore?
Nope. No, it's Alpi.
Oh, Alpi, right.
Alpi at number 12, which I think Alpi at 12 is pretty high.
I think Alpi at 12 is extremely high. I think of all the guys that you would look at for all the factor, the criteria that you mentioned, I would think that Jalen would be the highest-rated Rocket.
I mean, it's the Alpi-Jalen debate, right? I say Alpi at 12 is high, but the guys behind him, you know, Scotty Barnes, good player. Would you have him ahead of Alpi, though? Cade Cunningham at 14, Trae Young at 15, probably. Evan Mobley at 15, Brandon Miller at 17. So, 12 might be on the high end, but I don't think it's crazy.
I guess maybe it's because the way I look at LP, I don't look at him as a superstar. I think that he's a really good player in this league, but I think he is who he is and who he's going to be, where I don't know how much better he's going to get, and I know liability-wise defensively, I don't know if he's ever going to improve that. And when I look at the guys that are also we're talking about on this list and maybe just missing this list and amen, I think those are guys that have huge upsides. I think that from the criteria given, their ability to get better and improve because of their skill sets, I think are bigger jump possibilities than Alpi. But, you're right. With the guys you mentioned in the same ballpark, I think Scotty Barnes is better than Alpi. I think I think Scotty Barnes plays defense too.
Yeah, Alpi doesn't do a whole lot of that. 7557, they went deep with Brunson, talking about the Mavs, lost him and missed the playoffs, traded for Kyrie to replace the point guard they should have never let go. I think Kyrie's better than Brunson.
Ooh.
I think Kyrie's better than Brunson.
That's a hot take.
I think Kyrie's better than Brunson.
I honestly was talking to some guys this morning, and I firmly believe if Kyrie doesn't have all the distractions off the floor, you appreciate his game so much more to realize he's the best ball handler in the game right now. And offensively, when you saw what he did with the left hand over Gobert late in the game, too, to realize he can shoot with both hands, he finishes around the basket, maybe better than anybody, he just doesn't dunk it. And the fact that he's a better than given credit for shooter, I think he should be higher on people's lists about best players in the game than he is. But Brunson's done a whole hell of a lot in the last year or so in New York to say that he is a premier player in this league.
2055, Wimby was the first rookie ever to get all defensive first team. You're whack, dude. Did you say something bad about Wimby's defense?
No, you were saying Wimby. You would take Edwards over Wimby, and I'm sure he's being defensive about that.
Yeah, I would take Edwards over Wimby, but I didn't blast his defense. I wonder if he thought what we said about Şengün's defense was like we were referencing Wimby. We said Şengün doesn't play defense, not Wimby.
Being surprised that Wimby was one.
Well, I think this guy's he's defending. Us being surprised that Wimby was wanted, he's defending Wimby.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm curious now because we did say Shingun's defense was bad. We didn't say Wimby's defense.
Look, Wimby. Here's the thing: the difference between the two players is Edwards already shown you that he's come into his own. He's proven that he can do everything that was supposed to be based on potential, and now the sky's the limit. With Wimby, we're sitting there saying, "Hey, if he maximizes his potential, he could end up being a Giannis-type player with a better jump shot. He could be all these things with all these comparisons to all these players, but he's got to be able to put on weight. He's got to be able to get ready to do more offensively in the NBA.
Why does he have to put on weight, though? I don't know about that. Like, Durant never put on weight. Chet doesn't have weight right now.
But I don't think he's got the offensive skill set of Durant putting the ball on the floor.
No, but why? But have you seen where his weight is an issue? Like, his skinniness is an issue?
I think with him and Chet, they have to put on weight. I think that for the grind of the NBA, for the physicality of the NBA, and especially as they start getting older, I think the beatdown and the way their body's going to have to endure things, I think both guys have to put on
Maybe
put
for
on
the
weight.
Wear and tear, but I don't think that they're getting, like, bodied. You know what I mean?
The big thing, the comparison to me is always when you look at what Giannis looked like when he came in the league, he looked like Wimby. And then he was able to really fill out. He put on muscle and weight. He didn't lose any of his athleticism. And that's when he really flourished in the NBA. And I think that it can go a long way to maximizing your potential for both guys like Holmgren and especially a guy like Wimby.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's two different bodies. Like, Giannis had the room to bulk up and to be like this specimen. Like, I don't think that Chet and Wimby can blow up like him. I think that they're like, I think they have bodies like Kevin Durant.
I don't think I saw – when Giannis was drafted on draft night and then early in the videos when he was shooting around stuff with his arms and everything, I didn't see him becoming a guy that was that muscular.
Yeah, he's yoked.
And he is absolutely ripped up and he's strong. And I think that you don't have to be that level of strong, but I think it really helps you in terms of your ability to take advantage of matchups when they put defenders on you and things like that if you're strong enough and as well as quick and able to shoot the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nitpicking. I think it's more of a luxury than a necessity. But you might be right on the wear and tear in terms of, like, their career progressing forward, you know, year 12, year 14.
And think about, like, Chet's leg when it snapped. Like, you got to have stronger lower half, or if you're going to take little bumps and kicks and things like that.
But is that – I mean, is muscle going to help that? Leg breaking in half?
I think if you – build more, like, for lack of a better term, but if you build more girth and stability in your lower half, I think you can endure more in terms of if you take a blow where it looks like it's like basically a wishbone when it looks like his legs could snap at any minute.
8950, Alpi bodied Wimby this year. He did for a few plays, but Wimby also got a little bit of Alpi a couple of times too. Let's be fair. But he did have a really good game against Wimby where he was taking him down low and
that's the reason why
using
Wimby's
his muscle
bulk up.
Yeah. But Wimby at the same time blocked a few of his shots. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Speaking of the NBA, this is going to be the sixth champion in 6 years in the NBA, which begs the question, which sport of the big three, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, which sport has the greatest parity? 713-780-3776. Which sport has the greatest parity? It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill Shop on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time for me to tell you about the greatness that is HR&P. Human Resources and Payrolls Cougar, owned by my colleague, Go Cougs, used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Let HR&P help you, you business owners. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, onboarding, payroll, HR&P can help in all of these areas. They can help in one of these areas. They can help in a couple. Whatever you need help with, HR&P is going to be there to help you. No boxes with HR&P. You're not ordering off the menu. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business. I'm an email guy. I like to email. Anytime I have a question for HR&P, fire off a quick answer. Very easy to understand. Very thankful that we use HR&P here at Gal. So take care of your employees. Give them a call right now, HR&P that is, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.